the pages of IHS Fan Magazine, the Austin area's premier high school football preview publication, and the creators of the Horn Webcast Network, powered by IHS Fan. Welcome to Under the Lights, presented by ARS Rescue Router. Here are your hosts, Rick Epstein and Jeff Power.
Good evening, high school football fans. Welcome to show number 10 of season number 4 for Under the Lights, presented by ARS Rescue Router. Each Wednesday night for the next 8 weeks, we will shine the spotlight on Austin area high school football. Listen, if you like Austin area high school football, this is your show. Wednesday nights are high school football nights on the Horn. My name is Rick Epstein. I am the publisher of IHS Fan Magazine, Austin's premier high school football preview magazine. Do me a favor, if you haven't already done so, take out your phone right now. Follow us on Twitter at IHSFAN. We have great content as well as your chance to receive your very own free digital copy of our magazine. Just click on the link of our profile, and while you have your phone out, I invite you to download the Horn app so you can have access to the Horn Webcast Network, your season listening and viewing ticket to as many as 12 different games this week, all on one app, all for free. My co-host, since show number one so many years ago, Jeff Power. Jeff, how are you?
Man, I am fired up, ready to go. We got some great guests tonight. Looking forward to all these offensive linemen, too.
Yes.
That's always a big plus. Those guys, those big boys up front, they usually bring it on the interviews, too, don't they?
And they deserve the love. We got called out. Why don't we ever have offensive linemen as guests? And so what did I do? I booked three tonight. The man behind the glass, our show producer, the world-famous former McNeil Maverick nose guard, Samuel F. Pica. Hey, before we get to our first guest, let me tell you a little bit about the ARS Rescue Router Team of the Week. This week, we'd like to recognize the Leander Lions as the Team of the Week. Trailing by 12, with just 4 minutes remaining, Coach Price led his team to an incredible victory that snapped a 22-game losing streak as they beat the Pflugerville Panthers 48-47. A key kickoff return by senior running back Ray Eaglesey led to the Lions' touchdown, and then for the second week in a row, Leander's Aiden Perot recovered an onside kick, and moments later, the Lions took the lead when quarterback Garrett Langey plunged in from 1 yard out. The Lions, they all held their breath as the game-ending Pflugerville Panthers missed a 51-yard field goal try to go for the win. Congratulations to the Leander Lions for being recognized as our ARS Rescue Router Team of the Week. And one of our great segments each week is our Bush's Chicken Coach Speak segment. Each week, we'll be talking to a few coaches. I think through this week, we'd have talked to 25 different area head coaches. Tonight, we're lucky to talk with two coaches. We're going to talk with our good friend, Coach Les Goad, out at Hayes, and then also later on, Regent's new head man, Tim Phillips. So we're going to head first down south to Buda and talk with Coach Goad. Coach, are you on the line?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Welcome back to Under the Lights, Coach. This is your third season at the helm of Hayes football. Every varsity player on the roster only knows you as their head coach. Your record at Hayes is 18-8, 2-2 this season. 2020 has been so challenging in so many ways. What have you been most pleased with regarding how your staff and squad have faced the challenges?
Well, they've all stepped up to all the extra protocols and really been diligent about trying to stay healthy. We've just been real fortunate. Our coaching staff and our trainer, Mark Winter, has done a real good job of keeping everybody on the field, and that's what's most important right now.
Les, Jeff Power here. You mentioned Mark Winter. Let's go there first. 32 years he's been as a trainer there. Just give me your thoughts about guys like that. They're becoming the most valuable players in this COVID-19 year, aren't they?
Well, no doubt about it. The trainers, as well as the coaching staff, just have their work cut out for them this year with all the extra stuff that we have had to do to try to actually meet protocols, which, you know, keep the distances, keep the masks on, do testing and so forth to make sure everybody's healthy and just take care of people so that we can keep playing the game.
Coach, your senior quarterback, Durand Hill, is really something special. Last Friday night in the loss to Lake Travis, he threw for 175 yards, 3 touchdowns, ran for 85 yards and a touchdown, and even caught a 40-yard touchdown pass. Rumor has it he also cooked the team dinner. You know, what makes Durand such a special player?
Well, he's very competitive to start with and extremely athletic. His speed is you know, unparalleled for most quarterbacks, especially in our area of the world. He's just got a lot of quickness, a lot of speed. He's been our starting quarterback for 2 years now. We did make some changes this year to try to highlight not just him, but some of the skill athletes we have on our team this year. And he's just taken over. And like I said, he's so competitive. He's starting to see the field real well, gaining a lot of confidence.
And Coach Goode, I got a chance to see your team in week one against Vista Ridge. And y'all kind of are running more of a pistol with this slot T. Maybe explain how that, you know, the spread with the two wide, sometimes you go five wide. I mean, that actually works out well with guys like Duran and their ability to run this offense.
Yeah, every year we adapt to our personnel, but we went a little further this year than normal. We normally play with a tight end and a lot of times a double tight look, but we just had some skilled guys that we felt like we needed to get out in open space. We got Bryant Lewis that we split out on one side, and we rotate some guys on the other side. Will Agnew, Tyson Hatnott, Corey Vester, those guys. But we split those guys out and try to get them out in open space. We're still basically a three-back set with a fullback and two slot backs. And then, of course, we're not taking them – snap under center anymore. We've got Durant in what we call the pistol formation, and it really has opened up some things. And we've always tried to highlight athletes that we've had, but this year we just have a few more, and this scheme has really paid dividends for us so far.
Wow, you know, you really are able to adapt. I'm sad to see that you're one of the few teams that still was taking snaps under center. You know, that's a lost art. I always, you know, ask coaches, you know, fourth and you know, less than a yard, and you got your guy in the gun, why not put him under center? He said, because we don't practice it, you know. But coach, you know, this week you travel 20 minutes down south to I-35 to face San Marcos. They're an old familiar rival, but it means much more this year because it's actually a district game. Their new coach, Coach John Walsh, brings his Denton Geyer state championship rings with him. The past two seasons you've had their number. And they're coming in 1-3, having already gone through the gauntlet of Lake Travis Westlake. What are your thoughts on the Rattlers and the keys for a Hayes win?
Well, you can see that they're very well coached. Coach Walsh has done a great job. They're a very physical style team, and they're going to do some imaginative things on offense. You know, he's been running this spread for a long time, and he's very creative on the offensive side of the ball. So we expect to see some new things out of them. As far as us being able to deal with their physicality, we're going to have to – our offensive line is going to have to be able to handle the pressure, handle the stunts. And then we've got to get those guys out in open space like we've been trying to do the last few weeks. We've turned into a very explosive-style offense and a big-play offense, and we've got to connect on those things. You know, we can't afford to have the three and outs. We've got to make those plays. And defensively, we've got to prevent the big play. You know, one of our Achilles heels has been is giving up the big third down play, you know, third and long, and then give up the big play. We've got to be able to prevent those.
Les, you mentioned some players earlier, and all those guys go both ways. And you got a guy like Michael Bodwin who plays running back, also plays outside linebacker for you. The depth, has it been a problem since Johnson High School, you know, emerged and maybe, let's call it what it is, took some players?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it that our enrollment has definitely changed. And along with that enrollment, quite a few players. We just don't have the numbers that we had when I first got there. 3 years ago when I got there, we had 3,000 students in school and had the numbers out in football. But at this point, we're just barely hanging on as a 6A number enrollment, and the numbers of our athletes has really gone down. Thank goodness we've got some real quality athletes right now, and as you mentioned, several of them are playing both ways for us because of our lack of depth. And that's one of the things that one of our keys as well is to stay healthy and try to keep them conditioned well enough that they can make it through 48 minutes of playing both sides of the ball.
Coach, you know, in July, your school board voted to change the mascot name for the Hayes football team. Any word on the process with regards to what the new mascot name will be?
That really has been brought up here recently. I know that the process is going through Dr. Wright's office, our superintendent, and that will be occurring. I'm guessing that right after the first of the year, we should know what the new mascot will be. But in the meantime, we're just steady on and playing under the red, white, and blue.
Absolutely. You know, before we let you go, Coach, just want to get your thoughts. Newly created 26-6A, we already talked a little bit about one of the teams that you're facing this week in San Marcos. But, of course, you know, your district, you know, has a defending state champion in Westlake, has probably the most elite program in the state of Texas in Lake Travis. And then, oh, by the way, Austin High is just kicking butt this year. What are your thoughts on 26-6A?
It's very competitive. There's no question about it. And, you know, we mentioned skilled players that we have, but the rest of the district is just loaded. You know, Austin High, the quarterback there, he's just lighted it up. And you know what Westlake and Lake Travis are capable of doing. And Del Valle has got equally a number of great skilled players, and as well as Bowie and the rest of the district. So it's going to be competitive all the way to the end. I know this is every week is a big game, but for both us and San Marcos, it's huge this week.
Yeah, it is. You got to win those games against teams not named Lake Travis and Westlake, kind of like you know, on par threes. You got to at least you know, on the par fives, you got to at least birdie them. You know, the pros do, not me and you, but the pros, so they don't lose a whole shot to the field. Coach, always a pleasure. You are always so responsive to IHS Fan, and whenever we need you, and we wish you all the best this season. Hopefully we'll have you on as it gets closer to playoff time. How does that sound?
I hope there's reason to. Sure.
All right. Thanks so much, Coach Go. Take care.
Thanks, Les.
Yes, sir. You take care. Thank you for having me on.
All right. That was our good friend, Coach Les Go, of the Hayes Rebels, and soon to be you know, the school board, you know, voted unanimously. I don't know if it was unanimously, but they did vote in July to get a new mascot. And, you know, long ago they got rid of the Rebel flag, you know, it must have been 10, 15 years ago when they did that. So slowly but surely they're making that change. It's interesting.
Took out the song. They still have the H on the helmet, but obviously, you know, that doesn't have to be. I'm thinking Hawks or something like that. Something that kind of keeps that Hayes Hawk, you know, kind of has a good rhyme to it.
How about the tax? The Hayes tax. Hey, we'll see what they come up with. But, hey, before we get to our next guest, earlier this week, I logged on to my Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscription to get some great info. I spent about an hour going through some great info on all the area districts and teams. The combo subscription is amazing. For just $29.95 plus shipping and handling, you can purchase an annual subscription and get both their print magazines each year and access to hundreds of premium articles and archives on their website, www.texasfootball.com. As a subscriber, you will be mailed both magazines directly to your house before they hit the newsstands each year. The website is filled with insider commentary, predictions, archived magazines, and other great exclusive content. What a value it is. Great stocking stuffer, by the way, as we get closer to the holidays. Go to texasfootball.com, and at the top left of the homepage, click on the Subscribe Now button, and you can be an insider just like me.
It's time for Ask the Doc, presented by Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas. Each week, we will visit with a doc to discuss a sports-related medical topic. Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas provides comprehensive orthopedics, including sports medicine, joint replacement, spine surgery, hand specialists, foot and ankle, and physical medicine and rehab. In addition, they offer same-day appointments and on-site imaging and physical therapy. Visit them at oactdocs.com. That's oactdocs.com.
And we are so happy. We continue our great series. This is our 10th show. We've talked to several doctors about many different topics. Today we're going to talk with Dr. Steve Wilson about a topic, the importance of aftercare, and a very important topic. Dr. Wilson, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
Good evening. Welcome back to Under the Lights. And we want to talk a little bit about aftercare. You know, after a sports-related injury, what is the importance of an aftercare program?
Well, with almost any orthopedic injury, you know, you're going to, two things happen. You're going to have whatever injury that is, but then you're going to have effects to that part of your body, which you're going to lose strength, you're going to lose range of motion. And the aftercare is designed to restore both of those things.
Whoops. Did we? Hello? Oh, Dr. Wilson, you still there?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's all right. So you cut out a little bit.
Sorry. Now, with any orthopedic injury, you're going to lose range of motion, and you're going to lose strength in whatever part of that body you're talking about, and that's where aftercare comes in. That is designed to restore both of those things.
Wonderful. You know, what are the types of things that a patient can expect with their aftercare treatment?
Well, many times we refer patients to physical therapy, and the therapist designs a program to each individual patient. And a lot of times they'll be working with the physical therapist at the facility, but at the same time they design a home program for them so that almost every day people should be able to get some therapy.
So from a doctor's perspective, what are your goals in the aftercare that you provide a patient?
Well, my goal almost always is to try to get people back to doing exactly what they were doing before the injury. And that's not always possible, but that's where I'm aiming. I tell people a lot of these injuries, if you'll do nothing, you know, wear a splint, ice it, whatever, your injury's going to go away, but you've got to put effort into the aftercare, the physical therapy and the home exercises.
Absolutely. It sounds like a pretty important part of the overall process. Dr. Wilson, thanks so much for being back on Under the Lights, and I'm sure we'll be talking with you. We got eight more shows and eight more great topics that we'll talk with you and your colleagues about.
Well, it's good talking to you all again.
Wonderful. Thanks so much. That was Dr. Steve Wilson of our good friends at Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas, and they do so much great work, Jeff. They've got a lot of, they have a lot of teams that they're the team docs for, and they're even the sponsor of a few of our teams on the IHS Fan Webcast Network. Several of the teams, I believe, both Cedar Ridge and Vista Ridge, of which you call the games, they're the title sponsor of the football. So they do a lot in the community as well.
They do. They really do. And you know, like your point about aftercare, it's so important. You know, you see an injury, you treat the injury, but it is a lot of times not just the player, but it's, you know, it's the doctors getting involved and the counseling that comes with it. And I think Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas does a great job with that.
Yeah, you know, you've got a big one, and we'll talk more about it later on the show, but you get a front row seat every week to the great Vista Ridge Rangers as you are our play-by-play guy on the IHS Fan Webcast Network and on the Horn app. They had a big one against Vandergrift, and I'll tell you something. I want to get your thoughts on that game in particular, and then I'll tell you something about a special text I received after the game.
Well, I mean, in general, you know, over the last 4 to 5 years, I feel like Vandergrift has kind of had Vista Ridge's number. And I feel like, you know, when the Rangers, this was a 12-7 game at halftime.
Right.
You know, it was close. But the offense was sputtering. They were definitely having some trouble in the first half. You know, and I think what ends up happening is you get into a position where when Vandergrift came out and scored the opening touchdown in the third quarter and then got a big turnover, you could feel that Uncle Mo was just sitting on the Vandergrift sideline, that momentum. And Vista Ridge just could not overcome that. They couldn't seem to put together a big third down play when they needed it. Let's call it what it is. I mean, they love to throw the football, but Vandergrift did a really nice job with their secondary. They were getting a good pass rush, putting a lot of pressure on Kyle Brown. And, you know, it comes back to sometimes you got to run the football, too, to keep that defense honest.
Yeah, and I mentioned I got a text. It was probably about an hour and a half after I got home from the game I was at, and it was just simply from an old friend, Drew Sanders, who just said, "I told you," you know, because I had picked. I not only had picked Vista Ridge to win the district this year, and they still could. I mean, It's early, and I'm not going to give up on my pick yet. But I also picked them on this show to beat Vandergrift in this game that really gave Vandegrift the inside track for the district title, because I do believe these are two great teams in the district. Now, Cedar Ridge, they're playing well, and mm-hmm. they're going to have a lot to say about it. Round Rock, you know, they took a tough last-second loss against a cornerstone private school that really, it's hard to equate things, but they're in the mix. There's so much in the mix, but it's crazy.
Well, and, you know, Vandegrift, think about this. I mean, their one loss is against Cedar Park, and we're now seeing just how good Cedar Park is. I mean, that was a 14-7 game till very late. They ended up, you know, losing 21-7, Vandegrift did. But then they had 2 weeks to get ready for Vista Ridge. They were off the week before.
Right.
You know, you don't want to give any coach 2 weeks to prepare for
you.
Well,
especially Drew Sanders. You know, that I still will say that his teams are the most prepared teams on the field whenever they take the field.
Fundamentally sound.
They're
fundamentally sound. They really tackle well.
They don't make mistakes. They're well coached. It's a pleasure to watch a Vandegrift football game, and you know, because they are so well coached, and it's great. It's crazy, that district, and it's, you know, there's a big one, Vista Ridge and Cedar Ridge out at Dragon. I'll be the PA announcer. You'll be out there. We'll have Adam Wagner will be out doing the Cedar Ridge call. You'll be doing the Vista Ridge call. That's going to be a huge game for one of those teams, because one of those teams, it's more. I think it's more important for Vista Ridge to get the win over Cedar Ridge than vice versa this early. One last thing about Cedar Park. I was out there at the field when they
Pete
were playing
Hendrickson. Yeah.
And I know you were out there mm-hmm. too. I will say this right now to Cedar Park fans. I have not seen a Cedar Park team as well-rounded as this team.
Yeah,
this team is
dominant.
Scary good.
Gosh.
What Ryder Hernandez is doing with Cameron and Absek and, you know, all the great talent that he has to work with on offense, but the defense, the Black Rain, is just simply amazing. They just, year in and year out, they just do it. Hey, we got a lot more to talk about, including, you know, this is the show that features offensive linemen. We've got three offensive linemen that we're going to talk to tonight, in addition to Coach Tim Phillips. And, oh, by the way, we're going to, you know, squeeze in Thomas Jones from the Austin American Statesman. We're going to chat with him, too. You're listening to The Horn Under the Lights. Welcome back to Under the Lights, presented by ARS Rescue Router. We're already on show number 10. We've started August 19th, even though the season isn't quite where we're at. Rick Epstein along with Jeff Power and our producer, Sam Pica. Jeff, we're going right along, and like we said, you know, I got a tweet that said to me a few weeks ago, why do you only have quarterbacks and receivers and running backs? The glory guys, why do you only have those guys on the show? And I thought to myself, and I said, you know, we've had a few defensive linemen, Landon Watson, to name one in particular, but not many offensive linemen. So what did I do this week? I went and I said, who are some of the best offensive linemen in the area? And I think I've got three of the top offensive linemen. So we're going to head over to Austin High Country to talk with the first of our three offensive lineman, Harrison Donovan. Welcome to Under the Lights.
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Harrison. All right. Before we even get started, let's first talk about the famous touchdown pass that got called back last week. You caught a touchdown pass. What is the play? What's the name of the play? And what were you thinking when you heard Charles tell the team that we're running this play?
Well, the play is actually called Dirty Harry. and I mean, we worked on it all week in practice, and as soon as he called it, I was pretty nervous, but I was just happy to catch it, to be honest.
Yeah, Dirty Harry, I love the name of the play, and watching the clip as Brad Kellner was on the call for the IHS Fan Webcast Network, I watched it over and over, and I saw this rather large man running as fast as he could from the sideline. And I watched it a few times, and then I said, hey, that's Coach Rosenthal. He ran so fast to get to you, to give you a hug. But I guess it got called back because of the funny little rule that says a guy wearing number 60 can't catch a touchdown pass. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
But what an experience So
yeah, it was awesome.
Awesome.
Hey, Harrison, Jeff Power here. So, you know, I think the pink elephant in the room when we talk about Austin High is that playoff drought. I don't even want to mention the number or anything, but I do remember when we had your quarterback, Charles Wright, on. He said that you guys talk about it, that it's okay to talk about it because you are destined to get into the postseason, and why not this year? I mean, you're the oldest school west of the Mississippi, and you've got great players, and you've had some success in recent years. Why not 2020? Tell me how this team can get to the postseason. What's been the mentality like?
I mean, I think that just this senior class has been building a really good culture and chemistry these past 4 years. And I really think that this year we just have an increased passion for the game. And I'm super hopeful.
You know, Charles Wright has been a member of our IHS Fan Top 10 team for the past two seasons. He's a great quarterback and probably an even better young man. What does he bring to the team with regards to his leadership, Harrison?
I mean, he's a great leader. He works harder than anybody else, so it really inspires us, especially, you know, the guys that have to block for him to, you know, protect him every Friday.
Hey, speaking of, a lot of seniors on this team. I mean, you've got, what, 17 returning starters? I mean, just when I look around, I see a lot of guys that were the experience. I bet you were looking at this season thinking, hey, 2020 could be a special year for us. Talk about that experience and just knowing you got this many guys back and what that means for this Maroon squad.
I mean, especially on the defensive side, we had like something like 8 or 9 returning. So, I mean, we were super excited about that. And, you know, we had a bunch of our receiving core returning, and really our O-line was the only place that lost a lot of guys. But I think that we really had some really good new guys come in. So I'm really excited for it.
So we mentioned your coach, Mike Rosenthal. He was an offensive lineman that he achieved the highest level of football. He played pro football. He was an All-American at Notre Dame. What are your thoughts on how lucky you are as an offensive lineman to get to learn from him and help you with your position?
Well, especially like because I moved to tackle this year, there's so many things that I just don't know about the game that he does, and he just every single day I have something new that he could teach me or I could learn from him.
You're second team all district, and I bet you know it comes up. You can talk to Mike about recruiting. You can talk about what it takes to get to the next level, the little details that can get you from playing from Austin High to the next level. Share some of that. Share some of that conversation that y'all have about those kind of things.
Well, I mean, every time I would, you know, well, recently I committed to Washington and Lee, and, you know, every time I get an offer, me and Rose would talk about it. And you know, when I didn't know where to go, and he really helped me out with that whole decision process and when to commit and the importance of it and things like that.
So let's talk a little bit about your fellow offensive linemen. Let's give everyone some love. Who else is helping protect Charles back there?
We got Big Pat, William Brackmeyer, Cristobal Lopez, and Riley Woods.
And tell us about those guys. What do they mean to you?
And what are their nicknames?
Well, at left guard next to me, we got Big Pat. He came in new this year. I think he's really good, and a couple of new guys are William Brackmeyer. We call him Brack. I mean, he's great. He plays center. And then, you know, Riley's returning, and Chris Ball is a senior too, and he's playing guard, and he's really picking up things well, and I'm really loving how we're looking so far.
How's your defensive line making you better on that offensive line? And all the guys around you, how's your defensive front making y'all better at practice?
I mean, they're just bringing it every day. I think that the D-line's improved so much over the offseason, and it just makes us so much better, the fact that they go hard every play.
Well, you know, before we let you go, I've got a really, really serious question for you. You know, your family was in the ownership group of one of Austin's most iconic institutions in Dart Bowl. Unfortunately, y'all had to close as a result of the pandemic. But serious question here. The Dart Bowl Cafe was known by us longtime Austinites as serving the best enchiladas in town. Where can I get those enchiladas? Come on, Harrison, hook me up.
It's a funny story because the owner of the cafe, she actually, it's a secret recipe, and she's really stubborn and she won't give it out.
Oh, my goodness.
I know, right?
How about me and you putting some money together and putting a little trailer or something to have her cook them. But boy, I used to kid people, anybody coming to town, Mexican food is so great in Austin. Where can I get the enchiladas? And I told them, you got to go to Dart Bowl. They said, no, I don't want a bowl. I want to eat enchiladas. I said, you got to go to Dart Bowl. But it's funny. I grew up here. I'm a lot older than you, Harrison, so I missed those enchiladas. And I went that last week, and we're sorry to see it go. Hey, listen, such a pleasure to talk with you and get you on the show. We've had Charles on the show multiple times, and we've had Coach Rosenthal. But we had to get one of the guys in the trenches. Harrison Donovan, you keep doing the work over there at Austin High. And let's see. I think the playoff drought for a win is, 1957? Are you going to break it this year, Harrison?
Excuse me?
Are you going to break that record this and shatter it and get the first playoff win since 1957?
I believe it.
All right. Thanks so much for being on Under the Lights. That was Harrison Donovan. What a great young man. He obviously works hard. He's one of the better, better linemen in our area. And what can be said? He's learning from a guy that was All-American at Notre Dame. He spent many years, I think 9 years in the NFL in Coach Rosenthal at his position. I mean, people pay a lot of money to get, training from special training from something like that. And he's going to an Austin ISD school and getting it for free.
I tell you what, and Austin High, I was flying my drone the other day, and I was kind of over there by the old Lions Municipal Golf Course. The way Austin High sits up against that skyline in the city of Austin is just spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
That is one of the most beautiful views right there on Town Lake, Lady Bird Lake, and it's I love that school. I mean, to me, that is just a classic high school.
Well, it's one of the, it's been said that it's the oldest high school west of the Mississippi. They say that all the time. They have not won a playoff game. I used to say they haven't made the playoffs since 1957. I was corrected on that. They haven't won a playoff game for 63 years. Mm-hmm. So, and I know Charles Wright, three-year starter, headed to the University of Texas, Harrison Donovan, another senior, all those players, they had a huge come-from-behind win over Bowie, a last-second win. They went for two, which I love. I love the call. I kidded Coach Rosenthal. I said, you just did that because it was a school night and you didn't want the kids to be out that late. He laughed. But what a game, beating Bowie. Because you got in that district, you got to figure each team is going to lose to Westlake and Lake Travis. How do you make the playoffs? You got to beat the other teams.
Yeah, we alluded to that a lot last year with Anderson and Bowie and on. We could show you a lot of different examples, but you're right. I mean, when you're fighting for that third and fourth spot, you got to beat those teams that are also right there for that third and fourth spot.
Yeah, I mean, Austin High, they've got a tough one this week. They're going to Lake Travis, which many teams go there, and it's kind of like the Roach Motel. You go in, you don't come out, I'm just kidding. Lake Travis is a great stadium, but it'll be on the IHS Fan webcast network. It's going to be audio only due to some restrictions that we have on us, but we will have Brad Kellner and Raul Rodriguez on the call, so you Austin High fans, you'll still be able to listen to the game. It'll also be on the horn because Lake Travis is with Mark Honig and Bucky Godbolt. They are doing the call as they always do for Lake Travis football on the horn. So you got a lot of different ways to view and listen to this game, including on the IHS Fan webcast network and also on the horn.
Yeah, and Lake Travis, wow, they put up 70 last week against Hayes, and they just continue to do amazing things offensively.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say? They just don't miss a step. They lost their starting quarterback before the season even started in Nate Yarnell, a member of the IHS Fan Top 10 team. I understand he's close to returning. Bo Edmondson, youngster, came in and just kind of like what Nate Yarnell did last year when Hudson Card got hurt for Lake Travis, and the year before when Hudson Card came in for Matthew Baldwin. So it seems like, year after year, the starting quarterback, has a challenge, and the second team quarterback comes in, and oh, by the way, all they do is win.
Yeah, I mean, if you're the backup quarterback at Lake Travis, get ready. Be ready. You're one play away.
Well, and as we mentioned, even if they don't get injured, a second, even third team player on Lake Travis, they're going to get they're going to get a lot of playing time, because sometimes the games are out of control in the second half, out of hand, and so Lake Travis will let and that's one of the advantages they have. They can build depth through getting actual varsity playing time because of what they do in that first half. We don't really talk about that much, but teams like Westlake, Lake Travis, Cedar Park, sometimes, they get a huge lead and then they can afford to play a ton of players.
Yeah, and you know what? Taps kind of has a mercy rule in place where if you get late in the game, they'll just have a running clock.
Right.
They don't really do that in 11-man football.
No.
Then, of course, 6-man football, you can 45 a team. You're up by more than 45 at halftime, game over. But, I mean, 11-on-11, UIL, public school, you're going to play.
You're going to play, and sometimes as announcers, sometimes as
48.
As play-by-play, we say, come on, let's run the clock. I mean, it's you're down by 50, in the fourth quarter, and, it's three and out. It's like, oh, my goodness. But, sometimes you got to take your lumps. But hey, we've got a lot more show, including when we come back, we're going to talk with the new man, the new head coach out at Regents. Regents, one of the most successful programs in the Austin area for so many years. When we come back, we'll talk with Coach Tim Phillips. You are listening to The Horn, Under the Lights. Welcome back to Under the Lights, presented by ARS Rescue Router. Rick Epstein along with Jeff Power and Samuel F. Pica. We want to thank our first hour guests so far, Coach Les Goad of the Hayes, soon to be not called Rebels, Dr. Steve Wilson of Orthopedic Associates of Central Texas, and one of the big fellas in the trenches, Austin High stud O-lineman Harrison Donovan. And now we're going to continue our parade of great guests in our first hour as we head off the 290 Parkway in Southwest Austin to talk with the brand new Regents head coach, not brand new to Regents, but brand new to being head coach, Coach Tim Phillips. Coach Phillips, first time I ever talked to you. Welcome to Under the Lights.
All right, thanks for having me.
Coach, Beck Bryden built one of the most successful programs in the Austin area since 2001, 5 TAP state championships, 6 runner-up finishes. Simply incredible. When you learned that Coach Bryden was promoting you to take over for him, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, it was big shoes to fill, and the program's been really successful, and we built something really special in the private school league, and was excited to take it over and try to accomplish some things that he's done.
Tim, Jeff Power here. Thanks for taking my call earlier. So no punts so far this year. You're 4-0. The offense just kind of seems to keep rolling along, but you're more of a defensive guy. Elaborate a little bit, and let's just talk a little bit about the fact that you guys are 4-0 and have pretty much been mercy ruling everybody, it seems like.
Yeah, we've had a good run. Our starting offense is not punted yet, which is, I guess it's good for the offense, not great for the punt team. But, they've done pretty well. We run a high-speed offense, and they go really fast, and we've got some great coaches on our offensive staff, led by Scott Franklin, who runs one of the biggest dentistries here in Austin. And just a little side job for them. And they've done a great job. And then, like I said, I was on the defensive side, and we brought in a guy. The coach was before. He's been at Texas working with Todd Orlando the last 3 years at Texas, and he came back, and he's running our defense now. So they're playing at a high level as well. So we're excited for both sides of the ball.
Yeah, it's interesting, coaches. We talk to a lot of coaches, and primarily from the public school arena, when they might have a staff of 10 to 12 guys. Your private school, it's a little different. There's usually one or two paid guys, and then the others are kind of help out, please help our program. But hey, in my research, I guess you played quarterback for Kent State back in the day. You coached for the Kansas Jayhawks for about 12 seasons, and for the past 9 seasons, you've been on the Knights staff. What brought you to Austin, and also what brought you to Regents?
Yeah, so I sold a business back in Ohio. I got out of coaching and sold a medical business and trying to find a good place to raise a family, and Austin was the place we picked, and it was a great choice. And when we got it, we're looking for a good school, Christian school, and Regents checked all those boxes, so we put our kids in there, and we've been here 10 years now. All 3 of my kids have now just – my last one just graduated, and and Regents, and so I have all three of them in college right now, which is a whole different story.
Good luck with that, Coach.
It's a great situation, a great school, and they're doing it. It's been great for our family, and then also from a football perspective, been great as well.
Tell us a little bit about your relationship with Beck Bright and how this all kind of came about. Did you guys have a conversation? Did Beck say, hey, I want to step down. What's your thoughts? You want to run things? How'd that all transpire?
Yeah, we've been talking for a while, and I didn't know when I started working in high school. I probably didn't think it was something I wanted to take further. And we talked, and I said, I just mentioned to him and said, hey, I think this is something I'm going to do once my kids graduate. And he didn't say much, and then came back and said, hey, I think this is the right move at the right time, and to have you take it over. And it's kind of shocking, but it was good. And I guess if I had my druthers, is exactly where I'd want to be, just because the kind of families and the kids we have in our community is just really special.
Yeah, we think a lot of Coach Bryden. He's been on our show many times, and he does a lot for IHS fan. I tell people all the time, there's basically a Mount Rushmore here in Austin area coaches. In the last 5 years, only four coaches have had 10 or fewer wins, and Beck Bryden is one of them. The others are Coach Todd Dodge, Westlake Chaparrales, who won a 6A state championship, Hank Carter from Lake Travis, who has won many a state championships, and Carl Absek, who's also won a state championship over at Cedar Park. So he's in good company. But let's talk a little bit more about Regents. We had Wilson Long as a member of our IHS Fan Top 10 team last season, the first ever private school player to have been selected for that list. Wilson graduated in May. Who are some of the leaders on the team this season?
Yeah, our quarterback is Wilson's big shoes to fill. He started for 3 years and was all state. He's probably the best quarterback in the state for 3 years from a private school perspective, and one of the top in the state. And so Drew Dickey's a junior. He's been waiting patiently in the wings, and he's a really talented kid. Different type player, but he's a 6'1", weighs 205, can run and throw it, and super accurate. I mean, I don't know where he's. We've had one of the games, he was 12 for 13, I believe, and he had a drop right in the chest. He can do it all. He's a really good player. He'll have a chance to get some recruiting as well. The other top kid is, we have a kid, I was saying, he's a junior as well, our kicker, which I know didn't, when you're not punting much, he's our punter and our kicker, but Will Stone is a really, really talented kid that's going to get, he'll probably play where he wants to. He's kicked almost, I think, 90% of our kickoffs have been touchbacks in the end zone.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive. So, we got another kid junior. We got Weston Benson is a linebacker that's really playing at a high level. And he is a real tackling machine. And then the last thing I was telling Jeff was, we've got five senior offensive linemen that have played a lot of football for us, and they're big. And we got two guards that are 280 that, play college football, that are great players. And then as well as the other three returning starters as well. So that's a really talented group up front.
Wow. Five seniors.
That is awesome. Hey, let's talk a little defense now. I know you like to put three down linemen, and you got your stand-up linebackers. Kind of take us through a little bit of defensive coaching here. What's your mindset? I know that's more your background. And maybe if you want to allude to your coaching tree a little bit, where this all came from.
Right. Yeah, so I played at Kent State for Glenn Mason, and I coached with him for a number of years. And I think a lot of those philosophies carry over. I've always been not a high blitzing team, and we've been I don't like to say that bend don't break, but we really, really, really stress stop the run. And we've always had a really good defensive line. Our group's done that. I mean, we're going to have less than a yard per carry. And then we're gonna play zone behind it, and that's just our deal. And when the teams don't play that in our levels, they'll play a lot of stop the run with an extra guy in the box, and then play man on the outside. We know down the road the teams we're gonna play, we got to be able to stop the run with the smaller box and be able to play zone behind it. So that's something that we've stressed for many years, and it's paid off as we've got deeper in the playoffs.
Well, you guys kind of etch your own itinerary to the state championship game, it seems, each and every year. What is it about Regents that has vaulted it to being considered one of the elite private school football programs in Texas?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's unique. And I think, you know, I think this battle, it's or the conversation we have with our kids, and we started trying to play even more public schools. You know, last we played Wimberley, which was, they were number two. Then we beat them by 24 last year. And I think that opened some people's eyes, but I just think they realize that, wow, they can actually play. I mean, and the reason for that, there's really two factors I believe, which is we have 80 kids in our program, which most of the teams we're playing in our private school, they have in the mid 40s. And that's tremendous. So we have a varsity, a JV, and a freshman team. And we have, you know, I just came from our middle school. We have 28 kids in eighth grade playing, and we have 29 playing in our seventh grade. And that's at our school. That's our middle school program. And so they learn to play at that level and early on. That helps as well. And then the last part is we've got 16 coaches on our high school staff, and me included. Four of us coached in college. And we've got probably another 10 guys that have got 12, 15 years of experience. And so we've got some guys, and it's what they do. I mean, they have a job, but they also, when it comes football season, they're putting in 20 or 30, 40 hours a week. And coordinators putting in more than that. So it's, I think that's the difference that we've had and the success we've had, and that's been going on for quite a while. And I think that's what, you know, that's what's made, that's been our secret sauce the last couple of past years here.
Hey, Tim, I saw you beat St. Michael's 42-8, and they've probably been the closest team to you as far as the competition level. But with a December 18th date set up for Waco and a state championship, and you couldn't get in any non-district games, you're basically playing a seven-district schedule and then the postseason, how tough is that? I mean, you know, because it's, you know, the competition level sometimes in district play doesn't prepare you for the playoffs.
Yeah, that's probably our challenge right now. I mean, we're really trying to keep the kids worrying about getting better, and results will take care of themselves. And we would do that anyway, but the fact that, you know, in the past years, we've always played at least one game that was going to be a challenge. We played All Saints the last couple of years, and they're always a top program at a Dallas or a Fort Worth. And this year, we were scheduled to play Pflugerville Conley. It's a 5A school, and then the top SPC program, Episcopal Bel Air out of Houston, and then Dallas Christian. So those all got canceled. And so this year, we're playing our district, and our district is down from a number standpoint for sure. And so some of the programs haven't been as strong as they have in the past. So we're just really trying to get competition and practice and competing and getting ready and make sure the kids are improving each week, which is challenging at times, obviously.
Well, you can only play who's in front of you each week, Coach. It's been a pleasure finally getting to talk with you, and we hope to have you back on Under the Lights maybe when it gets closer to playoff time. How does that sound?
That'd be great. I appreciate having me.
All right. Say hello to – you still get to talk with Coach Bryden. Tell him I said hello.
Yeah. I'll do it. I think he's coaching middle school right now, so I could say hi to him when I get back and tell him he said hello.
Please do. Thanks so much, Coach.
All righty.
Thanks, Tim.
All right. Thank you.
That was Coach Tim Phillips, a new man out at Regents. Coach Bryden, he kind of became, I guess, the director of football operations out at Regents and handed the keys over to what sounds like a guy with a ton of experience.
You know, and the interesting thing about private school coaching is, you know, you can show up at 3:00 in the afternoon. I mean, that's your job, right? You don't have to teach.
Right.
You can have your other profession or whatever. 3:00, you're there for practice and ready to go. That's a little different at the UIL where you need to actually get some teaching in.
Yeah, and these guys, it sounds like he's got a dentist on. He's got probably a realtor, your real estate guy. You know, but I bet all these guys
spend more time,
game planning for Regents. But what a program. Hey, we are through our first hour. Can't believe it. We got a whole other hour left. You are listening to The Horn Under the Lights.